Cool.
Oh, it is a Tuesday, and I screwed up my intro already by having the microphone open right there, but anyway, it's the 26th day of July, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar, so welcome to the show. Now, we are live once again, and I'm happy because we had to skip last week. I forget what came up. It was probably me being debilitated somehow or other, because that's been the general theme around here lately. Anyway, I meant to get to Christy Aphrodite and begin the discussion on the esoteric stuff that was mentioned by a caller, 2 weeks ago now. But who knows? I'm not going in. I'm not a man with a plan tonight at all. We will address that stuff, and God knows what else. There might be other things to get to, and Christy Aphrodite's with me. Now, you guys who are listening to me live, and that is, again, on Tuesday, the 26th of July, only then can you call in live, because I'm getting tired of the emails about, I called in and nobody answered you called in at 1 in the afternoon. We are only live at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Particularly as you hear the sound of my voice on the 26th day of July, that's a Tuesday, okay, of 2022. You can call in now, but if it's another date on your calendar, no good. Okay, so there you have it. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. That's the number to call. You can join in, and we try to keep the topics relevant to, well, healthy things, all right, natural things, and of course we do that because Christy Aphrodite's with me. MyTrueEssence.net, ChristyAphrodite.com. Don't worry, I'll mention it again if you missed it. And we got almost 2 hours. Well, actually, we do have 2 hours, but we're going to go a little over time because we started late. Yeah, I can do that on a Tuesday. But anyway, Christy, how are you doing tonight?
I am here just making it through my MKUltra Hell Week boot camp that seems to have run on since May.
Oh, boy.
But I'm making it. I somehow, some way, I'm feeling more productive than ever. Surviving 110, 115 degree temps every day with still no rain. Other than that, and trying to keep up with the watering and try not to kill animals.
Right.
Yeah, it's I'm here and I'm glad to be here because it's like a break I get to take from all of that. And I do have my monthly 3-day help here right now, which is super exciting.
Excellent.
Because then I can work on the computer and the indoor stuff for a minute. So other than that, yeah, I'm happy to be here, man. Seriously, it's the highlight of my week.
Excellent. Well, look, in the second hour, maybe we'll try and discuss building an immune system because I could use a little bit of help with rebuilding mine again. But in the first hour, we did have a request, and of course, like I said, if callers want to come on and get involved in this conversation, one more time, 319-527-5016 is the number to call if it's Tuesday, the 26th day of July, okay, 2022, just after 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That would be, what, 7 p.m. Central? And look, do the math on the rest of it. Come on, guys.
That's okay. Important to put that out there because sometimes I listen to shows. I'm like, oh, my God, I want to call in. And I'm glad that you do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing that now because people have called in and I get reports when they call into the phone lines and I don't even.
I've been on hold forever.
Yeah. Well, I get a report anyway because it sends me a thing telling me that I had a conference call and I didn't. Because I have to set up the phone lines if I'm going to take calls. It's not an automatic. So, as you know, because, well, I showed you how to do that on here, and it's...
Right. Yeah. Of course, I forgot all that already, but...
Yeah, but it's, but it's an intentional thing you have to do. If you don't do it, you're not taking calls.
Right. As soon as you show me again, I'll be like, oh my God, that was so easy.
Yeah.
In fact, I just paid a computer dude to teach me how to do the variants, and I explained to him, look, I know I've watched the video... I've read the instructions. I even know where to go on the site to do it, but right. I can't process it from those words to my hands and put. So I just need somebody to talk to me like I'm three and let me do it. And so it just went smooth. He's like, oh my God, I'm so impressed. You're a fast learner. So I can learn it fast. I'm still not going to understand the language or the why, or the process, just tell me what to do, and I'll be a good little robot for these button-clicking issues.
Well, look, I mean, I remember when I was showing, because I showed you how to set up the initial product stuff, but I didn't have drop-down menus, because you didn't tell me that you needed that, so I didn't do it with you. Okay.
I didn't even know what that was, you know what I mean? I didn't even figure out what the name, that it was called variants till... I guess it was definitely over a year and a half ago. And then by then it was, I could only do what I could do. So I had them listed. And so what do you do? And at least it's worked. But I honestly think that this is going to help things so much more because the store was getting so cluttered with each individual item. So now it'll be, you can click on vinegars. And then drop-down menu, infused oils, drop-down menu, extracts, drop-down menu. Although the essential oils and all that stuff aren't done yet, but I did make a good dent at least on the creams, rejuvenators, deodorants, and I don't remember what. And then I can offer bundles without again, making a separate post.
Right.
Like, people don't want to go through that crap. I didn't want to go through that. And honestly, I was, like, ashamed to give it out when, oh, what do you have? Why don't you just scroll through these 49 pages and see if you can decipher what they all are by the title, you know?
Right. And you got to make things as easy as possible for people. Otherwise, they give up. So, you know, I know. Believe me. But at the time when I helped you set it up initially and you were just like, look, I need to be able to put a picture of the product up there. And this,
right?
And I said okay.
And things were way different then. I only had my TrueEssence products out of a barn,
right?
And all of the other products, it was supposed to be totally different. If you remember what I told you back then, that's still the plan. It just the people and the thing, everything faded away, and it was just me doing it. But I kept growing,
right?
And so I'm like, all right, well, this site's done, so everything's going here, and it looks like a third grader did it, and that's okay.
Yep.
Not to insult third graders.
I'm so excited
about having it all streamlined here. Hopefully I'll be done in the next couple days.
Well, I still love telling the story that, you know, when my daughter was 9, she showed me how to set up my YouTube channel because... I'm not understanding.
They're born knowing that stuff.
Yeah, they just are. You know, and she was just like, oh, "Okay, Dad, you know, I'll show you how to do this
okay,
once."
Okay, boomer.
I'll show you. Yeah, except I'm not a boomer. I'm an Xer. But she was still like, "Okay, Dad, I'll show you how to do this once." Okay. Okay. Thank you. You know, and ever since she sounds like me already.
Yeah, I'll show you once. Don't make me repeat myself.
That was it. And you know, the guy, Tony, I used to have work with me, he, cause I have a little bit slow sometimes because of visual stuff. And he was just like, look, I'm going to make a video of this instead of explaining it to you. He would make a video explaining it to me specifically so I could replay it if I needed to. And I was like, okay, cool.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love Tony. I miss him. He's still doing his DJ thing out there, but he doesn't want to be involved in the websites or anything anymore. So, unfortunately. So, anyways, look, we're talking about all kinds of side issues. As I said, there was a mention from a caller, and like, of course, Chris usually calls in when we're running out of time. And he brought
up... Why does he always do that?
I don't know. He's told me he's going to try and get better at it. You know, he's doing a show on here, too. on Sundays.
Yeah, I think that is great. Is it Sunday? Did I see that right?
Yeah, now it's Sundays at 8 p.m. Now, that's going to be live, but of course, just like everything else, it's a podcast afterwards. And there's only 3 episodes so far, but I did make a tab at the top of the website. So Get Mad with Chris Graves now is going to air at 8 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. So that way it's on the same time schedule as me, but on Sundays. So, and I'm only temporarily stopping the Monday shows while I record the book. So that's going pretty well. I have chapter 2 ready, and that's going to go up on the website. It should have went up yesterday, but I wanted to go back over it because I did, I can't even tell you, I probably did about 14 hours of editing on it.
Wow. Yeah. So you should be like me. I just put it up, like, whatever, sloppy, raw. I don't care. You don't like it, don't listen.
Well, this thing I'm asking people to subscribe to separately. So I'm like, I gotta, you know, I feel responsible if somebody pays.
You're a professional. Yeah, I get it.
If somebody pays me for something, I go, all right, I've got to do actually more than what I said I was going to do. Not just what right. I said, but more. I'm like that. I don't know why. I don't know where I got that work ethic from, actually.
No, I get it. I got, like, with my business, like, I don't think people understand how much I go through to get one little tiny bottled product, whether, mm-hmm. you know, from the labels to printing them, to cutting them individually, to cutting every string, to tying on every charm, to the, you know what I mean? And then, you know, I don't just rebottle other products, like I'm growing things from seed, harvesting, nurturing, then drying and infusing, or fresh, you know, and then that takes 2 months, and then,
well,
you know what I mean? It's it's a process, and I totally take pride in it, but when it comes to internet stuff, I'm just gonna say what I say. Actually, that's real life too. And whatever. If somebody wants to edit it for me, go for it. But
I got you. No, I totally understand. And the podcast, like this radio show, I don't go through the trouble of editing it, really. I just cut it down to, you know, the 2 hours, boom, it's done. It's not a big editing process. But this was a lot. And it was mostly my fault because I kept pausing while I was recording. And I'm like, oh, I got to cut all of these pauses out. I'm like,
I got to listen to like half of it. That Google Drive link or whatever it was that, or I don't know. Sorry, I'm dumb with this kind of stuff, but it kept stopping on me and I had to keep restarting it.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know if it was my computer, but it didn't like stop, but it was silence. And then when I refreshed and then went back and fast forwarded, it went for another little while. But
okay, well, I assure you, I didn't
just be my country connection.
Yeah, no, I assure you, I did not leave it with silences. But you know, if you go to
there's no silence. Yeah. It was definitely something to do with my connection or the link or maybe the computer working overdrive. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably you had too many things. You know what? Okay, so I already probably know the problem because you do this and you don't know it. And I learned this the hard way with you. It's that you'll have 80 windows open.
Yes, at least. I'm learning to do variants, and I got to copy and paste all.
I know, but then you go, gee, I don't know why this one window out of the 80 I have open isn't running, and I'm like, well, that's because your computer's trying to do all those other things.
Right, so it could totally be that. But I did listen to enough to know your method. No, I'm going to be nice, but if I went, sorry. I would have listened to more than half if it wouldn't have kept stopping on me.
Yeah.
But it's probably, you know,
no problem.
Whatever.
No problem. Listen, you can also log in if you're a member and you're signed up for the audiobooks, you can log into the website and get them too that way. I don't know. You can download it. There's all different ways. And
speaking
also
of windows open, I still have the window open you sent me like 3 months ago of your documentary that I still have not had the chance to sit down and listen to yet.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's
but the okay. window's open. I'm going to get to it. I really am. I just kind of got to get caught up and keep up with this drought.
Chrissy, I love you. You do your process. That's the beauty of this. And by the
it's
way,
it's there though. I haven't forgotten. I'm just a little late.
No, no problem.
When I say I'm going to get to it, I will. It's just I look at the time and then, like the shorter ones you send me, I'm like, okay, I can do that.
No, it's fine. Yeah. I totally understand. And as I said, your process is yours. It's all good.
Even Casey in the chat, he'll testify. He sent me like 2-minute clips of super funny stuff too, but I just didn't have the time. And like after a month later, he's like, "We're about to not be friends now if you don't click on that link." I'm like, "Oh, we get okay." There. but really, the time thing right now, I just got to get through summer. You know, that's all I'm focused on. And
see, Kate, let me just say to Casey, all you got to do is get a little more like me in this one very simple way. You get very used to women ignoring you completely, and then when Christy puts you aside for like 2 months and then gets to you, you still feel good about it because you assume that she's just going to ignore you. And then when she comes back and does it, you're surprised and you're happy. It doesn't matter when she does it. That's how you adjust your own attitude.
I don't
attitude.
Ignore my friends, man. I really.
I didn't say you did.
It's hard to talk about reality without sounding like I'm complaining, but these are literal 20-hour work days.
No. I'm not complaining.
I wasn't expecting this. If this was last year, like I'm looking at the videos and photos, the goats were, everybody was fine. Like I, you know, it's just different. And once I get through summer, then I'll have more time for internet related funny stuff. Mm-hmm. But that clip he sent was hilarious. No, I got to say that.
Great.
And
stuff.
Your link will stay open until that day happens.
Okay. Either way, I'm just saying, it's just, if you get used to the idea, if you just assume in your own head that every woman will ignore you, when Christy gets around to you, it's like it's still great. Because you're like, you assume she wasn't going to do it at all, and then you're perfectly happy. That's all. I'm not saying you ignore anybody. I'm saying I assume.
No, I know. I'm just clarifying. I do, you know, I might be late, but I'll get it. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Okay. So now that we've killed a little more than 15 minutes, I want
to
get...
Speaking of editing.
I do want to get to these esoteric discussions because Chris, if I remember correctly, asked you about, you know, does anybody have any views on near-death experiences? What else did he ask about? You know, I can't remember, but if Chris wants to call in, he can do that right now and remind us. He had a series of questions.
I'm pretty sure it was about dreams, UFOs, and... what supernatural experiences,
supernatural.
And that's why after
that's
the show, I sent you that clip
right.
of my children. Clearly, that was not staged, right?
Right.
You know, explaining a couple situations, you know, in her 8 or whatever 9-year-old language. So, yeah, I was kind of hoping he would be here because, you know what, then he's just going to make us repeat ourselves. He'll do what he did last show, and then we'll be talking about a topic all night, and then he'll call in at the end, and he'll say, "Hey, what about this topic?" It's like, dude, were you the last 2 hours?
What about exozoology and sex magic? What? Oh, come on, man. We got 10 minutes, you know?
Just... and that too, right? Yeah.
All right. So
I don't care where we go, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, let's spend a little time on the supernatural since we promised it. Because I said the next time that we go on, and I meant to go back on next week, but, you know, something came up. I think I was really unwell or I had a pounding headache.
I think somebody had a trip somewhere.
Oh, maybe that was it. Wait a minute. No. Now I remember. It was Kim had an issue. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. I see. It takes me a minute, but I get it. So I couldn't do last week, but let's get to it. I mean, supernatural experiences in general, stuff like that. I know you talked about the camping trip where you thought you might have, encountered something, but you weren't sure about it. And somebody called in to talk about being there also. And not knowing what in the hell.
Yeah, no, something happened.
But we didn't get many details out of you about that. So I wonder if you want to just begin with something that you do have some details on that you want to discuss. And the funny thing is I hate even using the term supernatural. It's unusual.
Right.
It is natural. But is it super in any way? I don't think so. You know, and I've experienced some weird things. Some things I cannot explain despite... all my research and a lot of knowledge on various topics like this. Matter of fact, I just did an interview with a guy. Now, it's going to sound weird, but his network is called CFR for some reason. Okay, it's not the Council on Foreign Relations, but I think he's trying to, you know, use the CFR abbreviation to, you know, get yourself some search results. I got it. It's cool. But this guy in England was talking to me, and at the end of the interview, he goes, well, you know, spiritually and religiously, how would you describe yourself? I'm like, oh, boy, you just hit the thing you shouldn't have hit, you know, with 5 minutes left, dude. And I started talking about it there. So I'll just leave it to you. What would be the, and I had to explain to him there's a difference between what I believe and what I know. And I know some things that I don't even believe I have an explanation for. That's for sure. I told a story on YouTube really quickly. I'm not going to tell it here, but I did tell a story on YouTube when I was under the influence of some psilocybin about floating. And that was something that happened when I was under the influence of nothing when I was a little kid. I did levitate, according to my memory. And it was a fairly frightening experience and all that. It was really weird, not really within my control. I still have no explanation for it, although other people have tried to provide me with some. They're not adequate. And I've seen some other things in my life and participated in some things in my life that I don't necessarily have 100% grasp on. But why don't we start with something that you have a few details about and just open up your mind and let us know what comes to it about, you know, allegedly supernatural. But you know what I mean when I say that occurrences, the rare, natural, and seemingly outside of the typical natural experience. How about that?
Okay, see, Chuck, that's the problem when it comes to details. I totally agree with everything you said. Mm-hmm. And some things are just unknown because we're not taught this, right? I don't believe the supernatural is anything beyond ourselves. I believe that's our natural state, and we just call it that because we're all living under Nepenthe, okay? So in our natural, non-induced sleepness, mm-hmm. Then we are more aware of the so-called supernatural being completely and totally natural. And I'll give you an example. My best friend, when we first met, he was fascinated by my so-called supernatural experiences. And I would tell him, and honestly, they're off the hook for me. So I grew up as a gifted child that people wanted to buy for those types of gifts, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know that everyone wasn't like me until much later. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, if I was going to tell you about supernatural stuff, if I kept a diary, there would be multiple entries each day. Okay. But again, I don't think it's supernatural. So getting back to my friend, when he was acting all interested in me, I'm just like laughing. I'm like, what about you? And he just stated so boldly, like, nothing abnormal or supernatural has ever happened to me. Okay. And we're talking like over 50 years old, okay, saying this. And I'm just like, yeah, really? Mm-hmm. And so a minute later, he's like, oh, well, there was this one thing. And then by the end of the conversation, there was three things. But right. Now, since we've talked and he's changed his vision, so to speak, instead of focusing on what they want us to, or the pavement or asphalt or whatever in front of us, mm-hmm. he's having so-called supernatural experiences every day. Okay. So whether they're telling a door to open or levitating or disarming a gang, stopping rain, other stuff, all of these things are possible, I have personally experienced them all and more. Like I said, they happen so often that I can't even, you know, I need my friends to remind me, oh, remember when you told that car to stop? And, you know, like I sat in my sacred circle and I said, okay, ha, 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 self, if I'm really this magical, the next car that drives by is going to stop right in front of the house. And at first I said, you know, they're going to have car trouble. And then I erased it right away. I'm like, no, 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 that would be terrible. This is a bad place. I said, they're just going to stop. And sure enough, and I got video and a witness, it happened. So whatever. And here is the thing. I don't want to just talk about I've done this, I've done that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I want to encourage other people to get in touch with their natural state so that supernatural isn't even a word anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay. Because it shouldn't, this is our natural state. And every time we, you know, that drug-induced coma, that, or spell, mind, MK Ultra, whatever, that we are all under, right, to some degrees or more or less in others, but we were all born in with these, all of these things natural.
Let me ask you about something.
Tricked away from us.
Okay.
In the process, like going to school and learning how to follow the leader and getting chased home and, you know, being picked on or...
Well, let me ask you about something here, because this mm-hmm. is a key thing that you've now brought up twice when I've asked you now. So I want to pull it apart. You're talking about, okay, you mentioned MK Ultra. I always kind of cringe a little bit when people do that, because it is, first of all, not the key thing. In my mind, it really isn't.
Let me just explain quickly.
Well, hang on. It's a reference
that I make. I refer to it as the MK Ultra joke, because while radio people, researchers, etc., are trying to point their finger at a couple actors, actresses, or politicians, mm-hmm. the joke is that it's all been on us ever since they introduced the boob tube and all what I believe is the greatest weapon of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. So I believe we are all under a spell.
Okay.
To some degree, whether you were brought up in an underground base or any of that other stuff or not, you don't have to be a Disney kid to be bombarded with propaganda,
right.
And it qualifies as the definition of trauma, right?
Right.
9/11, showing that repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. So I believe we're all under a state of MKUltra.
I want to break that, okay? I'm sorry. I want to break it, because to me, it's not the end-all and be-all at all. It's there, I agree, but... it's not the end all and be all. I feel
it's
as
a
though,
good word to describe no, the state I, of I, numbness
I
that society
it.
Is in, where it's impossible, seemingly, for them to even know who and what they are.
Well, see, to
and
me,
that's why we're talking about supernatural, because if people knew who and what they were, instead of trying to fit into be like this star or that celebrity or this whatever, parents, teachers, schools, etc., then we wouldn't even be having this discussion, because all of these things would be totally natural and normal, right?
Okay.
So it's hidden from most of society because of the state. Now, I'm not saying that it's an excuse to deny yourself, but I'm acknowledging that it's a real existence, the mind control propaganda bombarded at everyone since birth.
Sure, sure. But the thing to me...
So it's just a word. You can call it anything you want.
No,
I'm just saying
no problem.
Mind control, MK Ultra, you know, trauma, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's all the same thing to me. It's just a word.
No, fine.
So my belief is, as we heal that, and here's the catch part, high states of trauma can actually induce more so-called supernatural states, right? like lucid dreaming, for example, or what's the words? See, I didn't even know these things were words growing up. I thought it was totally norm astral travel. See, that's why I can't even come up with the words.
Right,
it was just a natural state growing up. I didn't even know people were having these conversations until much later in life. And I would talk to somebody and they'd be like, oh, you have to read this book. I'm like, what's that? They're like, astral travel. Oh, what's that? And I'm like, oh, yeah. That's that thing I told my mom, that cord, that when I described it as a kid, it was like several mile long bubble gum coming out of my butt that was a thread that went all the way up to the sky. Uh-huh. So, you know, when it comes down to give me the details, here's the details. I was a gifted child. All this stuff was normal and it wasn't a conversation till later. And I am super passionate about letting people understand that they have all these gifts too. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, one of the reasons that I had to go on my sabbatical from Soul Journeys Radio was because talking about this stuff gave this kind of like guru culty worshipy thing, like, oh, Christy can do this and I can't, and oh, she's special and I'm, you know, and I need, you know, and it was just like, come on. So then I just quit talking about those things because I didn't want people to look at me like I'm supposed to be doing stuff like that specifically for them all the time, or that I'm special, because I'm not. The only thing special about me is that I rode in the back of the little yellow bus and I trusted my heart and my delusions. Mm-hmm. So... yeah. And healing trauma opens up that vision, because everything we see, say, do, touch is affected by the energy that we hold in ourselves. So whether that's happiness and joyfulness and gratitude, or whether that's unhealed trauma that we're harboring. Mm-hmm. So the less other stuff, distractions, the things they want us to pay attention to, then the more these things will come natural. Not only that, the fact that, you know, most children, I haven't heard of a child yet in my entire life that their parent didn't say, oh, my child's so psychic, they said this or told me about this dream or whatever. But then what happens? They go to school, they get injected, they watch TV, they do video games, and then it all just magically goes away. And then if you tell someone about your dreams, then you got locked up for being delusional and hogtied and beat and your house left open while you're transported, you know, dozens of miles away because somebody thinks you're delusional because you tell them a truth about what you can see that they can't. You know, so what we get that beat out of us, right? Every teenager that's been diagnosed or, you know, here, take this pill, I guarantee they're going through so-called psychic, so-called supernatural experiences, and then people don't believe them. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's something wrong with you. So that's Nepenthe. That's the trauma-induced mind control program that we're born of in this school right here, and it's our duty to make the so-called supernatural natural by knowing ourselves and not giving in to any of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear you on all this. But
so now you want to hear a cool story, right?
No.
Okay. That was boring preaching. Sorry.
No, it's cool. I just let you run there because what I wanted to get into was beyond that. Because to me, even all of what you're describing is just the addendum to what's really there at the beginning.
Right.
A lot of people say, well, you know, were we genetically manipulated in the first place to be limited? You know, and I see that speculation. I understand it, that, you know, long before you or I arrived in the form we're in currently, there were many a thing going on this planet, you know, long before there was an America to create an MK Ultra.
Right.
Even,
there
were many things going on. And I believe, I don't know for certain, but I do believe that there is a bit of a censorship which has gone on here in general, which has been imposed upon people through various means over time. So long before MK Ultra, the TV, the propaganda, Hollywood, or any of this stuff existed, they have always had different mechanisms. And the people that wish to be in charge, the priest class, if you will, that has decided, you know, for a very long time that we weren't even allowed to read the books they preached to us from, right? You know, and they used to sing those scriptures to people, didn't they? They used to do that, and you had to listen to them and learn them that way. You had to learn sing songs, kind of like what they do to children today, okay, to teach them things, teach them a song. This is what they did, and we were all children under their control. Now, this is about the control grid of religion. And what preexisted that? Well, I think there's a whole lot to the story, and it has been a continuation. Now, in our modern age, we have all sorts of different conveyances that have caused us to fall victim to these things, but I think we wouldn't have fell victim to them in the first place if there wasn't already a generational program in place, which was meant to sell you on this idea that invisible lines drawn on land are the defining factors for exactly how much violence you're allowed to commit on the planet. I think that, you know, the idea that you are meant to worship at the feet of different symbols, whether they be statues, flags, crosses, or whatever, are all part of a greater program that, again, did not even require electronics, okay, did not require a television, didn't require Disney, didn't require the CIA to do with the MK Ultra program in the first place.
Right.
Didn't require any of it. Because it was
all religion, all statism, all, you know, cult, right?
Right.
We're all basically born of a cult. And that's why when we realize the religion we grew up with is wrong, it's so easy to get caught up in another one because we're like, oh, this one must be true. And then the new way, or you know what I mean? Or politics. And we realize that was a lie. So then we jump to the other side, but we're still playing.
Still playing,
you know,
the same game.
The whole game.
Yeah. That's the thing about it.
That's programming I'm referring to in the MK Ultra joke.
Right. That's the current system. But, you know, they keep developing new ones, and we're going to have to come up with some new names because I see new things happening here. You know, the idea that you're going to literally live in an alternate reality that is controlled by a machine as opposed to what? Dealing with flesh and blood, which nobody does. And, you know, because people don't even meet in person anymore, you know, a lot of them.
I know.
Very bizarre stuff. You know, the idea and the thing that I said when people started with this whole social distancing, you must be 6 feet apart. I recognized that right away as disconnection. That's what that was. And you're meant to be isolated. You're meant to be kept like a calf ready to be made into veal. You're, you know, except it is not just the physical body that is isolated and tenderized. It is your mind, and it is your literal being that is meant to be isolated, cut off, and this is how they keep you sickly and dependent at all times, psychologically, spiritually.
And away from our supernatural source.
Precisely. And these are the topics that we don't often get to on this show, honestly, because most people go, you know, I've got my thoughts there, but I don't want to go there. So that's why you're here today.
Because I don't mind being kooky or sounding ridiculous and, yeah, whatever.
What else are they going to take? I mean, really, seriously, what else can you take from me again that I can't somehow come back around to or let go of? I mean, honestly, so what are you going to do? You're going to mark me as crazy again?
And that's exactly why, like, I think my trauma and my past for this, because, you know, after you lose so much in so many different ways, it's like, really? Okay, so you're going to rape me again, or you're going to kidnap my children again, you're going to slander, you know, it doesn't even matter anymore. And that actually helped me turn my trauma into a superpower, which I've actually done videos about, turning your trauma into superpowers. So I know that people just want to hear cool stories of cool dreams and details of drug trips and this and that. But I'll tell you what, none of my supernatural so-called experiences were on any substance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Long before I touched any substance for my own use. Okay. Because, I mean, I was I curried and carried things for people when I was a child, not even willing to appreciate the things I was currying and carrying. But when I did that, even things happened to me that I still have no explanation for. I talked about the floating boy thing earlier, but I've also had more than one time somebody put a gun to my head point blank and pull the trigger, and I'm still here. I cannot explain one of them very, very seriously, because I literally thought for some moment of time, and I'm not sure exactly the length of it, that I'd been shot in the head, and I had not. I don't know how to explain it. The people that were there didn't know what to make of it. A gun was fired at point blank range, and that pipe was up against my head, and I'm still here. So you tell me how that went down. I don't know.
Right. Well, sure enough, you're supposed to be here. And yeah, so that's amazing, right? We have protectors, or whatever you want to call them, guardian angels or ancestors or helper God, you know, I don't know. They're just words. Pick mm-hmm. a word. But we have that protection. And there is not one single person. And just to prove that everybody has intuition, there's nobody I've ever met in my life that has never once said, I knew I shouldn't have gone there. Or I knew I shouldn't have done that.
I knew this was going to happen. I knew it.
I didn't want to go to that event. And then you go and something dramatic, traumatic happens, right?
Right.
So,
I mean, with no beliefs. No, you're right. With no beliefs, with no use of the word psychic or, you know, I had a premonition. Right. None of that. They'll sit there and they'll tell you at least this following story generically. I knew that this was going to happen. I told somebody, right. I know I did. I said it. I wrote it down, whatever. Okay, something. They memorialized it, expressed it somewhere, and literally exactly what they thought was going to happen happened, even though they thought, you know, other people thought there's no way you knew that that was going to happen in this circumstance. And yes, insert trauma story. And then they say, right. I should have known, and I should have listened to what? My gut?
Unexpectedly slowing down in traffic because somebody is about to hit you with a head-on collision 30 seconds later, or a deer is going to jump out on the road, or a cow.
Mm-hmm. A cow.
I live in the country. That happens. That's our traffic jams are cows, tractors, ducks, chickens, you know.
Well, if you're anywhere near Kim's.
So everybody, it doesn't matter what you think of the words we're using tonight, psychic, supernatural, superpowers, etc. You have it. And the fact that they try to limit us to having only five senses, right? Sight, touch, smell, whatever they are, the five senses, right? What about hunger? What is that? That's a sense, you know? And then I knew I should have. So it doesn't matter what you believe. We all have these so-called powers innate within us. And even people who think this is crazy talk always have an amazing story. In fact, I just got a call the other day from one of my 70-something-year-old friends who was very, to the letter in the religion and laws and things that he was taught, right? So a little discriminating, judgmental, but, you know, still a nice, likable guy, and we could tease each other and stuff. But
right.
I said something to him a couple years ago that really, is that what you think your God wants? And, you know, maybe there were a few other words. I don't want to go in details, but here we are 2 years later Because the thing that he would always question me on, he would ask me about supernatural stuff, powers. He would ask me about specific things in my life. And I'm like, you know, don't, he's like, I always want to experience it, but I'm stuck in my apartment reading that Bible again. You know, I'm like, really? Fucking 70 years? Like, go forth. Like, all of these things, you know, I think that's written in the Bible somewhere, and I'm not repeating it because it's a Bible verse. It's just because it's factual.
Right.
Anything that I or anyone has ever done, you can do too. So fast forward 2 years later, and let me tell you, he didn't take to that conversation kindly. Okay. Mm-hmm. He is very old school. And, you know, but he's been opening up quite a bit, and receiving that call the other day with him thanking me for that conversation and giving him the push that he needed to get to know what and who he really is, and that all things really are possible. It, yeah, it changes life. So I got that. Thank you. So, and again, complete unbeliever in anything, even though he knew my children, he firsthand witnessed certain things, but he always just scruffed it off as, you know, well, that's interesting. That's just right. Some crazy chick talking, right. You know?
Well, here's the thing, a crazy chick. I got another thing to plant in somebody's mind who's listening to this, right? And saying, okay, they've gone, you know, off the deep end here a little bit, right? Okay. I have never encountered, you mentioned I've never encountered a person that didn't say, you know, for no other good reason except I had a feeling and I knew something was going to go wrong, and they knew it, and they didn't really have logical indicators. It's not like it was obvious, right? And they go, well, you know, I just had a gut feeling, whatever. Okay. Also, I'll note this, and I note it for a specific reason. I also hear stories from nearly every single person I've ever known, one way or another, if I talk to them long enough, about somebody told me something. They had no idea. They weren't connected. They didn't know the people. They didn't know the situation. But for some reason, I mentioned it, and they simply blurted something out to me. It could have been a stranger. It could have been somebody that knew them. It could have been their mom. Doesn't matter. But occasionally, somebody just kind of gets a feeling on your behalf and then articulates it to you.
Right.
And they say, I should have listened to the warning from the person who wasn't even there.
And, oh, that might have happened once or twice a day.
Well, here's the reason why I bring it up, because I am often the guy who gives people that warning. I don't know why it is, but I will just snap and say something, and I go, look, I don't know why I think this, but here's what I think this. Here's what I think about what you're about to walk into. Before they even finish telling me the story, they go, wait a minute, how would you know that any of that's going to... And well, I say I don't, but... This is just somehow something that I don't know why I feel it strongly.
Well, you do know. That's the knowing, but we're taught to not call it knowing. If you didn't know it,
right,
it wouldn't come out.
Right. Well, I was going to get there. I always say I don't know why. I do know why. I know that I've been given a piece of information. I'm not saying I know exactly the source, okay, all the time. I'm not saying that I know precisely the absolute clear message, but always...
Yeah, just because you can't understand it doesn't make it not real.
True. That's the point, right? So, but I'm often that guy that if you're talking to me and I just blurt out something that I shouldn't even know about to you, you really should listen. Because...
Let me tell you, Chuck, I quit doing readings like... You know, astrological and stuff like that in my early 20s, because by then I was already tired of people getting mad at me for telling them the truth.
Yeah, well,
you know, and then it's like, yeah, I don't want to, but you can't help it. You just know, right? And people need to honor that, because the more we listen, the more we get, the more knowings come, right. The more we allow spirit or whoever, higher self or whatever,
right,
speak through us or flow through us, then the more of that we're gonna get.
Well, the frightening thing is when I had a lot more friends, okay, because now everybody who's my friend I talk to online or on a phone or something. I don't have face-to-face friends anymore, Christy. But when I did have a lot of face-to-face friends, it got so bad with this that they started telling me, you cursed me. You cursed me. You said it.
Right. There's that, too.
You know, you said it, so it happened.
And that's something I want to talk about, Chuck.
I know. But we are coming toward the end of this hour, and we do have a phone caller.
Awesome.
Okay, but I wanted to introduce this. I wanted to throw the softball at you because, honestly, when we go into the next hour, I want to talk about that. Because
I'm going to tell you all about it. In fact, just in case I forget, just say Jupiter.
Okay, Jupiter. Gotcha. That's the key word.
Yeah, it's terrible and heartbreaking. I have to come out with it.
This almost sounds like an MK Ultra trigger. You know, here's your key phrase.
It's just that, you know, when we start talking about things and I might go somewhere and I intended to say something but don't, but you know, apparently, which is why you're going in this direction,
exactly.
Maybe if not that, but really how easy it is to curse someone, again, whether you believe mm-hmm. in superpowers, psychic abilities, and any of these things, you literally are cursing people with your words, swords, okay, spelling. Every word you say goes out there and reverberates. And if you are knowingly doing these things negatively towards other people, just, you know, it comes back. So mm-hmm. I really suggest people try to be more mindful in their thoughts, actions, words, and energies, even gift giving, which mm-hmm. is related to the Jupiter thing.
Right.
And, you know, people can give you gifts with ill intent. And, you know, not to say that clearly we can undo and overcome anything. And these situations are lessons. And I'll tell you what, I have some old videos on my channel about, I used to not believe in black magic. I literally thought that if I didn't believe in it, I couldn't be affected by it. And I thought that most of my life until I ended up on the ground in Louisiana with the poison arrow in my hip, like out of the blue mm-hmm. with my children. Mm-hmm. And then a few other things, right? So I had to learn that, you know, it isn't always black magicians or witches sitting over a brew, you know, and sometimes it is. And a lot more often than people would think, especially in alternative radio and a lot of these cults mm-hmm. online. Mm-hmm. But it even just a person thinking negative about someone or something all the time. Mm-hmm. You are casting spells on yourselves and others and your environment. Every thought, every word.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely true. And for anybody who thinks black magic is not real, I will again inform you, look, there are certain things I believe and there are certain things I know. And I will tell you that I know that black magic is real. And I also know that you were incorrect about that idea. If you don't think it exists, it'll protect
you. Oh, clearly. It was just one of those things. I was brought up in the cult, right? In my programming. I was told that by a Christian family member.
Right.
And so I held on to that until I was completely surrounded by black magic and black magicians and blamed myself and had no idea what was going on and thought God was cursing me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
it reminds me of that game we used to play in the apartment complexes where you go into the dark hallway and you walk down the stairs backwards, repeating with every step that you don't believe in the devil until you get to the bottom. And then you turn around and what do you see? Anyway, let me tell you something.
This is documented. The videos I made where I was talking about magic being real, whether you believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, and this is on my channel, mm-hmm. There was an incident. That's when my hand got bit and I went to Arizona for an event and I was being recruited to be part of a cult, and I was sent something that was supposed to be a high honor from, you know, a Native American, and I accepted it with high honor. Shortly after that, my dog got completely ill with the worst stench ever. Then I started stinking. That, I mean, just like not normal things. And thankfully, I had Shakti back in the day to kind of say, hey, this is what's going on. And she told me what to do. And I did it. And it literally went away instantly. So, and that was my first experience trying to like knowingly combat a black magic thing. But that was attached to that gift. And ultimately, it had to be burned and buried, you know, in a place near water in a forest and, you know, a circle of salt and stuff. But that, that was my first time doing a cleansing ritual. Other times before that, again, due to my mind control, that same Christian relative told me, all I have to do is say, get thee behind me, Satan. And while that did work for a lot of things sometimes, that wasn't always it. And then, so I know it's that time we have to take a break. So we'll just talk about the Jupiter and other real life examples of curses.
Well, we also do have a caller on the line. And by the way, I have performed several of those and assisted other people in performing several of those cleansing ceremonies. It is not Native Americans generally. This is not a problem, but here's the weirdest thing I'll tell you. You know, people might think, oh, it's these people that practice black magic. It must be Satanists who are doing this all the time. I'm here to tell you that quite often there are people that are barely aware of what it is they've done. That have,
look, even your friends, right, that are secretly jealous of you every time you succeed or get a promotion or have a happy relationship. Your family that doesn't think that you should be in a certain career because it'll take you away from home or go to a certain school, or they want you to go to a certain church. You know what I mean? Like, well, it's people you know. Yeah. We definitely don't have to be worrying about Illuminati, CIA.
No, it's not the secret. Look, the secret.
You know, politicians, celebrities, other life story. We need to be mindful of what's going on around us. And in our immediate sphere, what we're putting out there, what we're picking up, and you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Well, no, my point here is that, quite honestly, the cursed items and curses themselves often come from people who are not generally known to be part of a secret society. They're not generally known to be part of any sort of, you know, cult practices directly. They're not magicians. They're not Native Americans. Quite often, the majority of the people that I've had to turn around and get items removed and clear things away have come from people in their lives who almost were unaware of what it is they were doing to somebody. It is the strangest thing, and it's happened. You know, your brother, your sister, your, you know, your ex, whatever. Sometimes they'll turn around, and the cursed item thing reminded me that I've had to deal with this many times where I'm like, listen, and they go, what? My sister doesn't know about black magic? And I'm like, well, she kind of does. She just doesn't realize that that's what it is.
That, exactly. Okay? And so of the three incidents that I've kind of brought up here, the Louisiana and Arizona one, those people knew what they were doing. And the, oh, wait, how could we forget
sometimes
the one in between?
Right. No,
the
no,
you know who's.
I absolutely know who
there's
you
that.
Mean there.
And then the Jupiter thing was just a regular, average, normal, angry person who smiles in public.
Yeah, exactly. No, but the I know exactly who you mean. Somebody who thinks they had an experience in Egypt, right?
that was the that should have been. I was only. I didn't even put add that one in. Right. I almost blocked that out of my mind. But now that we brought that up, that would be the third And then the fourth was the Jupiter one.
Well, sadly, I know who that son of a bitch is. All right, but look, we got two callers, and I'm not going to bring you to it. We don't need to go there. Okay, we can go through this and inform people without ever giving them a hint to point them. See, that's the thing.
Intentionality. I'll just say this.
Yeah,
I did a show January 1st, 2013, apologizing to my listeners after I found out that people could actually use NLP on people through the airwaves, through the micro, on my show, guests mm-hmm. I had on my show,
yes,
that once I spoke up, people were saying, oh my God, I thought it was just me. I always got a stomach ache when this person talked, or yep. I always had a head, or things like that, right?
Yep.
So that's when I decided purity, like if I have one gut reaction about you, dude, I was canceling shows left and right, like people that mm-hmm. listeners wanted me to have because they were big names. Then I'd have a dream about them. And the next day, like 30 minutes before the show, because I was a chicken, I would cancel it.
Well, I'll tell you this. I have never had somebody say that because of me in any way that ever occurred. Okay. Now, the other thing you're talking about where somebody says, I don't know what it is, but listening to this person on your show, and I'm not going to name a name, but you know what? You and I have a mutual acquaintance that I used to get this reaction for, that this person just gives me this feeling, that feel, a whole bunch of lists of odd things that they seem to be projecting. I had to look at it finally after, you know, a bunch of people that I knew didn't even know each other were saying the same thing. I am into pattern recognition. Okay.
So that's one of four people that I had in the lifetime over decade of my show
right.
that I believe were using those practices.
Mm-hmm. Not the most astute use of it, but still a use of it. Okay.
But that's our lesson. So I'm not like mad or I don't want to hate on anyone. I'm thankful for the lesson. I'm thankful for knowing what I know now.
Absolutely. No, me too.
Yeah, is real.
What do they call a D student if he passes the bar after, you know, trying to be a lawyer? They call him a lawyer. Okay, so even a D lawyer is still a lawyer.
I had to learn the lesson a few times. So I had a few Fs and then maybe a few Ds. And then after a while, I started acing it.
Right. No, I got it. But I'm just saying, it was one of those things where just pattern recognition. Somebody in Alaska is telling me that they're getting a gut feeling from somebody who also says the same thing in Switzerland, who also says the same thing in New Jersey. I go, yeah, these people don't know each other. Something is
happening. Except you know with me, and it's posted on my site at ChristyAphrodite.com, the actual evidence that it's more than just a feeling.
True.
It started off like that, Chuck. I didn't want to go to their house.
Right,
But I felt pushed into it because they made best friends with my best friends, and I was on the way to Danny, right? Oh, we're just an hour away, just up for breakfast. You know, that's how easy it is to be lured when you go against your intuition.
Right.
Like if I was who I am now, I would have said, no, I don't have time. But back then I was trying to be nice and discounting my instinct, my intuition, my premonitions, my everything. Right. I mean, I don't know if it helped that I was told I was delusional every day and on the internet and everywhere, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Of course, I had to doubt myself. And I was hoping I was wrong.
Right. Well, look, here's what I'm going to do, though. We're going to take a break because we got two callers on the line. I want to get to them, okay? And get further into these stories, and I'm going to have to give her MKUltra keyword in order to get back into a certain memory, okay? But Christy Aphrodite's with me. The Ocelli Effect is happening here on a Tuesday. Stick around. We've got about an hour left. We'll be right back.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Support Chuck O'Chili and Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model, too. And, look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly.
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this, too, because, you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com. Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia. By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck O'Chili, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
The second hour of the Ocelli Effect begins now, and we're going to get right back into it with Christy Aphrodite. And I'll remind you to go to mytrueessence.net. Now, none of the subjects tonight are necessarily on that website, but a lot of natural things there, which Christy is adept at. She may be adept at some other things. We're going to get into that in this hour, and we already have in the first hour. How about that? But, you know, you can't bottle some of the things we're going to talk about. But there are many products on there, many interesting pieces of information on mytrueessence.net. And, of course, christyaphrodite.com is a home site for her as well, and the links will be in the show descriptions. So now I'll shut up because we need to get through a bit of a story and get to some callers. Callers are still welcome at 319-527-5016. I know we got Jimmy James on the line holding on. He's been holding on the longest. And we also got Chris on the line. So I'm going to try and get to them as quickly as possible. And you, if you call in, you the listener, if you are hearing us live just after 9 p.m. Eastern here in the United States, okay, on the 26th day, double checked, of July 2022. Otherwise, we're not live. You're hearing a podcast. It's not real. It's Memorex, they used to say. And all of you childrens, you don't know what that means, do you? All right. Anyways, I'm an old man now. Get off my lawn. Christy, so I'm just going to throw the key phrase at you, and I'm going to lean back, probably light a cigarette, shut up and listen, because you told me to remind you with the phrase Jupiter.
Yeah, I'll make this quick. So, and the reason I feel it's important to bring this up is because we're sharing real life examples. I love that you use the word adept because I want people to understand the lessons keep coming, okay? And doesn't matter how adept or whatever you think you are, you're still going to be given lessons. So in 2018, when I moved into the barn, that was my first walled shelter in a lot of years. Somebody I worked with gave me a crochet blanket. Mm. Now, how I mentioned earlier about sometimes it's your friends who are jealous of your successes and, you know, this and that. And so when I was homeless and living in my van and scrubbing the floors, I was fine. But when I started getting in art galleries and artist of the month and moved up from the barn and bought a car and, you know, things like that, she grew angrier. Mm. Well, I held on to that blanket, and this is a confession of sorts, okay? But I hope that whoever's listening realizes the power of even the unknowing. Just like Chuck said, she was not in any club or any organization. She wasn't like snipping frog tails and mixing them with insect wings and, you know, out in the mountains. She was just a mean girl, if you've seen that movie.
She's not making and voodoo dolls and selling them on the corner
she
there.
She didn't have voodoo dolls, mm-hmm. No. So she gave me that gift. I held on to it because it was my tablecloth at the time. Mm-hmm. And I knew I should get rid of it then, but I held on to it when I moved here. And now I have not just one room in a barn to furnish, a really big house. Mm-hmm. So I knowingly used it. I put it in my apothecary, and that's where Jupiter choked his arm and almost died. And I don't need to go into all the gory details, but basically the Jupiter curse. So then goes the mom, then he has a baby, and then she has a beautiful husband, then he dies, then her firstborn dies, then the next one just died a couple days ago.
Wait. I don't understand who we're talking about here. You said Jupiter choked his arm, and
he's a kitty.
He's a kitty, okay. And so who are we talking about dying and everything?
And so everyone in his line, basically, his only daughter.
Ah, okay.
It's just been immense suffering. Mm-hmm. The last
One
Please enter
died
your PIN followed by the pound or hash.
Ooh. The other
if
one.
If you do not know your PIN, please
on
enter pound or hash.
Hold on.
State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never before published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War
by author Mike Swanson. Ochili.com.
You know, I might have my music a little loud here. Whoa. All right. Anyway, minor technical difficulty. There's going to be a few tonight, I guess. My apologies to the guys that were waiting on line to get on through the phones. My phones, I can't dial out, so therefore I can't connect with the phones at this moment. And no, I don't know why. A glitch has occurred here that I have never seen before. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. But we're going to continue the conversation and run a little bit over because I wound up playing a bunch of songs and stuff there and had to go to break due to technical difficulties. Christy Aphrodite is still with me, I think. Christy, you still there?
That's hilarious. The timing, I'm sure it's all just a coincidence. Man, wow.
Yeah.
I guess the Jupiter curse isn't over yet, or maybe the other ones we're not supposed to talk about. I don't know, but that's how easy it is.
Well, let's do it anyway, because here's the thing. I don't believe in fear. That's for sure. Now, we do have to be sensible about the way we handle stuff, but...
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, no, you have to have a sense of what's going on in order to be able to navigate through whatever has been put before you, that's for sure. But I'm going to push forward with the discussion. I'm not going to run away from it. I'll tell you that now.
Right.
I'm definitely not running away. And if for some reason Christy gets cut off, I swear to you guys out there, it is not my doing. But I have this feeling that we will not be disconnected, you and I, during the rest of this conversation. But I cannot hook up with the phone lines. My apologies to anybody who did call and anybody who was going to call.
But people can Skype you.
Well, they can do that. If you send me a message, I might be able to add you on Skype if you want to try and add through on Skype. But send me a message and I'll call you. Let me handle it, please, because I don't know what's going on, but I want to make sure it gets done. And also, if I try and answer a call now when I'm connected to Christy, it'll put her on hold. And I don't want to do that. So send me a message on Skype. I am Charles.Ocelli. That is my Skype handle, literally. So, and in case you see more than one, because apparently there's a few clones out there on Facebook and on Skype of me, the one that says wow. The host of the Ocelli Effect, that's the guy you're looking for, who is literally Charles.Ocelli. And in fact, my name on Skype has two Ocellis on it because of a typing error when I was signing up in the first place. So there you go. Specifically, I have that. Just so you know. And also my son is on Skype and he has the same name, but he's Charlie and that's not me. Okay. So if you do encounter Charles.Ocelli, send me a message on Skype and I can add you into the call. That's that. But right now, my phone lines, I have to diagnose what the issue is there. And I could not do it quickly as I normally can. So that's where we're at. Anyway, we were discussing the Jupiter curse. You were talking about how this relates to the family line of a particular kitty. And that you were saying that the offspring died. He had a problem with one of his legs. Some other stuff happened. You know, and I think that's where we lost the thread because of technical issues. So let's continue on with that. And I'll sit back and shut up and let you describe it. And then we may have some other things to discuss afterwards. Go ahead, Christy.
So that was literally the end of it, Chuck. Like, I was just expressing that it doesn't matter how adept we think we are, or I already learned that lesson. I knowingly held on to that blanket because it was all I had, right? Mm-hmm. Tablecloth, sorry. And it ended up being the noose, right? So I should have let it go when I moved here. Mm. But yeah, so that's it. So I just want people. And she's, again, she's not part of a club. She's not a, you know, just a regular person who was seething with anger and envy at every good thing I did to move forward.
Mm. You know, and something to note here, the old phrase of the seven deadly sins, they are literally deadly depending on how they're expressed. So there is a little a tidbit and a hint at some real information regarding this. But I want to ask you about this item because I think you said it was a crocheted blanket, which to me is one of the most mundane things in the world. I mean, it didn't have any special stitching in it that appeared to be, you know, somehow symbolic or magical. I mean, what color was it? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Totally normal. You can see it in pictures on my fake book or even on my site, just like a white, like a lacy kind of looking, but thicker tablecloth with just the typical holes, just, you know.
Okay.
Probably came from a thrift shop, but then she gave it to me. Mm-hmm. And I believe she was genuinely, you know, oh, come on. I've got cats.
Are they disturbing your equipment at the moment?
Something like that.
Okay. Now,
just another coincidence. Yeah. Okay, you guys have to go. Yeah, this is not going to work.
No,
right
fair enough. You don't want them sitting on your keyboards. Next thing you know, we're going to be hearing the sounds of whatever it is you were watching on your computer
right.
or something. So,
I'm just saying that I believe that the whole thing was my fault because I knowingly held on to that piece of cloth that was cursed not by an adept black magician, but a regular person who just, again, seething with envy and anger and contempt. And I do want to say the two girls in this mean girl scenario, both of them have had cancer since.
Right. Well, that's what you talked about regarding...
So whatever they're trying to curse me with, they did it to themselves.
Well, that is one of those things that, to different levels, usually, I mean, as much as this sounds like a phrase that people use to comfort others, frankly, bad things come back to people that put bad things out. Karma is a real thing and an overused word as well, but the reflective nature of what it is that you put out, sometimes people are more reflective than others, okay? And you may get a stronger beam of light, you know, and light can be something that allows you to see the things around you for sure. But if it is too intense, it can burn you like a laser. And different types of mirrors, different types of people that reflect it back at you, this is the thing to consider, could provide you with different intensities of what you've sent forth in the first place. So there is that. The fact that it's a mundane item is very common as well. Blankets are kind of actually something that comes up a lot.
I had to actually, thanks for reminding me, another MK Ultra trigger word there. Mm-hmm. I was holding on to a blanket that my mother gave me for years and moved it and all throughout my homelessness until around 2018, whenever that eclipse was. I can't remember if it was 17 or 18. I got rid of it and things immediately started to improve.
Right.
I got multiple raises, and this is that same job we're talking about. Let me tell you how difficult it was for me to be there. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm making minimum wage, and as a middle-aged woman living in her car next to 16-year-olds, and as it turned out, I was a great worker. So they created a job for me and started giving me more work. But in truth, multiple times while I was doing the dishes or scrubbing the floors or the ceilings or the toilets, I was in tears at the darts they were throwing at me and how, like, I felt their energy. I heard their words. Right. I even held a meeting with my boss about it. I said, I don't care what you think or anything, and if you think I'm crazy, but here's the truth. I hear your thoughts, I feel them, and it is adversely affecting my health. Mm-hmm. I am, you know?
Right.
And that I walked out, okay? This is a real story, and maybe one day, because I think we should continue this topic for a while now that we're laying the groundwork, mm-hmm. and have him call in, but...
I got you.
This is real. So let me tell you what I did with it.
Sure.
When I got over the pain and the trauma and realized it was like a repeat pattern, I scrubbed those wood floors with so much love and precision. Again, they created more and more jobs and more work for me because I was that good. And I loved it. And I used that entire time visualizing my own hardwood floors, which I'm looking at right now, visualizing my perfect home where I'm going to get my life back and be able to live off the land and produce my medicines again.
Right.
Like, I went in that world, so there's stuff. You know, it hurts sometimes, but I would just have to call it out and walk out, and the problem always was solved in my favor.
Right.
I mean, because it was evidently clear, right?
You know, this reminds me of something here that should be mentioned, because you're talking about scrubbing floors, and some people would say, well, what is so interesting or spiritual about that? Let me explain something. The practice is very solid that these many Buddhists and other types of monks do. This, rock gardens and raking things about. As a matter of fact, they sell these little miniature sort of Zen gardens, and some people will build them in their yards where they have a place where they literally rake and organize and move rocks around and stuff like this. And this is a practice you can do for yourself. Remember, the best, you know, mind control is not all evil, believe it or not. You can take control of your own mind. And one of the ways to do that sometimes...
That's exactly what I advocate. Mind control yourself.
Exactly. And the thing is, one of these methods that one can use to reorganize things is to literally reorganize piles of people that rake piles of rocks around. You think they're nuts. People
I've
that
done
spend,
those videos.
Yeah.
It is part of my practice, my morning duties every day. I've had people visit me that when they saw me doing my sweeping thing, they thought that I like thought they were dirty or something like that.
Right.
And I've done those videos. I'm just saying. And so again, with that visualization, the act of cleaning, and take this into your own home, whoever's listening.
Yes.
Like, you're not just cleaning the oil or the wine or whatever spilled or the shrimp on the floor, you're actually cleansing the energy and say the cooties or demons or whatever word you want to use that like to hide and reproduce in those places. And while I'm saying that, like roaches, ants, all those things are reflections, right? Because they don't exist in my house, not one single bug, you know, because I take care and I respect that wood. I respect who put it in.
Right.
I respect that wall. And here I am sitting in the place that I unknowingly magically created while I was crying on the floor, feeling like Cinderella. I'm just getting real.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, cockroaches and many types of pests, okay, that end up in your home. There's a little more to it than just the energy that you bring upon yourself.
No, as within, so without. Yeah. They're reflections of. And I figured this out long ago when Snickers was filled with fleas and, it's a reflection of what's going on around. So
certainly
when you're filled with parasites.
But I'm just saying there's more to it. Let's go back to this thing about cleaning and everything for a second, because it's very important. It's not just that. And I'll tell you that if you look at, I mentioned the Buddhists and I mentioned the practice of a Zen garden, and some people go, okay, that's just silliness. But even people that do other types of practices that you would think are not connected to that, that are connected to literal magical practices, will tell you all about that the ritual of sweeping a floor is something that is important in the practice.
Cleaning is a magical practice.
It is.
Why do us witches make brooms? I have them hanging on my door with things that I've grown and twigs and herbs.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying? It's a magical practice in itself.
In and of itself. Now, there are other factors involved with some of those pests, okay? I just want to say that. Yes, they are reflections as well.
They can all be overcome no matter where you live.
No, but listen, everything can be overcome, okay? That's
I'm just saying, and I saw within myself and my own health, when I was not trusting the right or trusting the wrong people, it manifested in my health through things like parasites. As within, so without.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
And trauma, in a way, could also, unhealed, could be considered a parasite, right? Because it's something that's eating at us. So I had to see, and oh my God, I had this vicious dream where I saw it all in pictures with the life running out of my face. Mm-hmm. And that's when I saw that me holding on to those attachments and trying to say play nice with vampires because they're on the same network or whatever, you got to go to work with him or whatever, it reflected in my health.
Of course.
So,
but again, because we're talking about a slightly...
I'm not saying it's the only reason.
Yeah,
right? You live in a certain area and bugs are prone, and I get that. But I at every single bug, every animal, every bird, every spider, everything that shows up in my vicinity as a message. And that's what happens as we get closer to who and what we are, and the supernatural becomes natural.
But the thing is, I just want to stress that when it comes to living things, you know, you don't necessarily have absolute control of them. There are other things that come into play. And I'm not saying just the environment. What I'm saying is that they have a spiritual order as well, even the cockroaches. So you got to understand that they do come for more than one reason. When it comes to controlling your living space, remember this, your living space, okay, not you, Christy, you know this. Your living space, there's a reason why it's called that, not just because you live there, okay? It is a living thing. So how you take care of it, how you groom it, how you handle it, all of these things are significant factors in what? Its health, okay? Now, these other additives, these other parasites, they are another level of that, that's for sure. But let's not lose the thread on this idea of how you clean, what it is you choose to allow to exist or to be settled into your space. All of these things are significant. Now, the idea that she's doing this is sweeping or she's cleaning a floor, somebody might say, well, cleaning is just good because psychologically, yes, indeed, that's true too, but there's more to it.
All of the above.
All of the above, right. So I'm just trying to get at the idea that, you know, you could be cleaning a counter, a floor. You could be rearranging the furniture. You could be choosing to not allow certain things into your home because they bring with them other things. Not necessarily curses, right, although sometimes they could be carrying a curse. But the most mundane of objects could be something that by addition or subtraction. Like even... Here's an example,
yeah, and we used the word purposeful last week or last show.
Right.
I don't bring one herb in the house. There's not one single brown leaf on at all. Like, they're cut off if I pick something that has something like brown or whatever, because I know that I'll be bringing that energy in with me, mm-hmm, right? So, yeah.
No,
exactly. Should be mindful or purposeful. I'm glad you're talking about the cleaning topic because I've also...
there go the kitties again.
Yeah, that's kitties. They're wonderful.
They're playing, yeah.
I love this show. This is the most hiccups ever. All in one.
Now all we need is a random animal to come by your door to say hello.
Oh, my gosh. Now I totally forgot where I was as I watched my whole room divider wall fall down.
See, but this is the thing. The fact that that's happening, some people might say, that's a negative thing. No. Relax. It's not necessarily
it's
a negative thing.
It's kitty cats being kitty cats.
It's kitty cats being kitty cats. But also, there may be a good purpose behind said disruption. You gotta reinterpret what's being sent to you sometimes, okay?
Absolutely. And you know what? I do look at everything as something. Every injury, every cut, every pain, every anything out of the ordinary. Okay, so the wall's coming down. That's what that just told me.
Right.
And the walls are coming down with everyone, for everyone, and that's why I'm glad we're doing this topic. I thought it was going to be a little bit different, and I'm sure people wanted, like, cool supernatural stories, and we'll totally go into that, I appreciate being able to lay the groundwork and show real-life examples of all of it. It's not just, hey, this is how you levitate, and this is this cool vision I had when, you know what I mean? I hope that everything we talk about is useful, that people can apply or learn in their life and maybe check ourselves, like, what is this telling us, right?
Right.
So, and I look at everything like that. If there's a snake in my grass, I have to look around. Okay, who am I not, you know, is there somebody that, you know, may not really be on my side or up to no good or... You know, the parasite, the flea and tick problem when I first moved here, it was terrible. And yeah, it's the Ozarks. And I could have just said, oh, yeah, that's just the way it is. But no, and it wasn't just a physical thing. Mm-hmm. I was being invaded by parasites. Mm-hmm. It was And you know one of them. And even though you didn't see it at the time, hopefully time has shown, but things like that were off the hook. So dead bird, you know, I look at every single thing as a sign. And the more we look at that and become more present with all of those mundane things that we might forget about, the kitties dropping the wall or the power going out or the phone list going out or me falling and hitting my knee or stepping on a thorn or whatever, the more we are present with each of those little so-called mundane things, right, again, the more natural the supernatural comes.
Right. And use all of your senses as best you can, whether you have names for them or not. I mean, listen and also feel and also, you know, taste and smell what is, for sure. But pay attention to those senses. They are there with a purpose.
Chuck, I want to hear. I'm glad you brought that up because some, you know, with your eye issue, I'm sure you have some overblown senses. And I'll just say, like, I smell disease, I smell car problems, or I'll see music, or, you know, it doesn't come in the way we're taught the five senses are, right? Mm-hmm. But also knowing that one is suppressed, there's others are off the charts. So I want to hear your off the chart senses.
Well, look, off the chart senses, I don't necessarily know, because I've always been this way, but every once in a while I get a comparison with somebody else that allows me to understand that, yeah, I'm picking up on some stuff other people are not. And even with my eyesight,
like, do you smell it? Do you see it? Do you taste it? Do you hear it?
Well, as I was about to say, even with my eyesight being limited in certain ways, it is not limited in others, because I will see things that others don't. You know, heat differentials that other people do not see. Sometimes I see those things. I know something's hot when other people are like, oh, I didn't know that was hot.
Right.
You know, things like this I'm able to see. I'm able to see fumes that a lot of people tell me are quite invisible.
Right.
And I'm not aware of that because I have a high sensitivity to light. So, yeah, I'm limited. Oh, it's hard for me to read small print or this or that. But, you know, I see fumes. That, you know, this has been one of the weirdest things that has come up, where I've seen stuff coming into the air that other people don't see. So they're just going to continue to be in the path of something that is bad. And I've had to tell them, look, there is something in the air here. I don't know what it is. And neither do you, because you're not seeing it. You're not smelling it, but it's there. And I've discovered more than once something that became a safety issue because of that.
And then, I do that. I've taken my cars multiple times to different mechanics because I knew that something was wrong, but it always took like a day or two for them to be, you know, because they're like, well, it basically just has to break all the way before we can fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but don't you smell that smell? Like, look here. And then, yeah, 3 days later, I'll be on the side of the road and towed to the shop and
the only point of a heightened sense, really, because you could say that visually it's a bit of a trade-off, right? Where, yeah, I mean, I look at a tree, honestly, you know, from just a short distance, and to me, there are no separate leaves. It's one thing, right? I mean, like a childish drawing. So some detail eludes me. But I can also tell you that looking up at the sun, and this is something I love to bring up to people because they don't know what to do with it. Looking up at the sun, people think the sun projects light. It doesn't. Visually, what I see is I actually see it projecting energy, and the light is actually created here. Okay, now that's an odd process, and yet there are people that have been outside of the Earth's atmosphere who say you can't see the sun. And I believe them, because I don't believe it actually projects light. It does project energy, which turns into light for us, but that is a process through a filter which is on this planet, and I think that is something that is not recognized by a lot of people, but I visually see that. Okay, So there's that. But
that's
also,
cool. Yeah, I've seen some weird stuff. Like, I look up at what are so-called planets. I'm like, nah, that's a living, breathing being. I don't care what anyone says it is. I've seen it in my mind, mm-hmm. and that's what it is to me.
Well, I'll tell you another thing is I hear things. I do have a heightened sense of hearing a bit, despite the fact that I've got a bit of tinnitus. And probably that would hinder me, but or maybe I'd hear a lot more as I've grown. But quite honestly, I hear a lot of things that other people do not. I sometimes hear people's heart rates and things like this when they shift. Stuff that, you know, somebody else needs a tool to hear, I don't. You know, and I used to get paid for this sort of thing, by the way, because I would hear very, very minor electronic buzzes and stuff in recording studios that I knew were from, you know, a bad plug that was gonna go bad. It hadn't broken yet. It's gonna.
Right.
You know, stuff like this or a bad electrical box. The ground wire might be slightly loose. I hear it. And it really doesn't affect operations except that there's a minor thing that I'm hearing. And later on they go, oh yeah, so a couple of weeks later it got loud and we could hear it. You know, they hear it later. I used to tell them to replace, I was always ahead of, you know, replace this or that, you know, your contact on the fitting here is gonna unravel. And it would take a week, a month, but it would happen. And I knew when it was gonna happen in advance because I could hear this, the fact that the connection was loose. Stuff like that, and it just visually you're supposed to be able to see this. I couldn't see crap. I could hear it. You know, I hear the electricity in people's walls all the time, and they don't. You know,
right.
Sometimes I know when stuff is about to go bad in somebody's electricity in their house because it's like, you know, you got a problem over there, and I think you're gonna, you know, and then they start telling me, well, it does seem to go through light bulbs through that one particular fixture. And I'm like, yeah, that line is not good. And then they have somebody check it later and they find out, yeah, I was right. And I just heard it.
Right.
You know, I heard the difference between one spot and another. And honestly, I think I hear electricity in everybody's house because whenever I'm away from all that and I'm away from electrical things, I get a different sense of silence than I do anywhere else.
Right. We briefly touched upon what Sidney Ross Singer coined as vibroacoustic disease.
Yeah.
And that's all of these things you're talking about, appliances, wires, like even if people aren't conscious to be able to hear them, I can hear them like you, Chuck, mm-hmm. but other even if people can't hear it audibly, their cells are feeling it.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah. Simply because you are not sensing it does not mean, you know, because you're not sensing it in the standard way that you expect to, does not mean that something in your being is not sensing it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So the key
is to tap into that, and all these things you're talking about, or I've been talking about, is totally normal and things that I really believe if we focus on more, I mean, the more we sense, the more we'll sense, right? So
well, that's the
more we're in the moment, the more moments we'll remember, and magic literally happens. It's kind of a choice, and it's in that presence. And yeah, it also happens sometimes as a warning or as a, you know, somebody that saves us from driving off a cliff or whatever, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows it's always there.
Right. Look, we'll go about an extra 15 minutes here because we had the whole debacle with me trying to straighten out the phones. Okay, so we're going to go over just a touch in case somebody notices we're about 5 after the hour, which is where I was going to stop. I say we go another 15 here. We didn't get into dreams, although we did touch on it on the Friday open call-in show because I think Chris, again, asked about dreams, or somebody did, dream interpretation. And stuff like that. And we started talking about, I asked the open question to the entire roundtable. What was the strangest or most remarkable dream that somebody else ever told you that you were in? Not a dream that you had, but somebody that told you you were in a dream and they described it to you. What was that? And that wound up in a couple of different directions because some people said nobody ever told me they dreamed about me at all, which, you know, some jokes got made and stuff. I mean, but I honestly...
Believe it or not, I got answers for all of it.
Okay. Well, let me put that question to you. How about that? So we can go into the discussion about dreams with this basic premise. So tell me, how about this, Christy? Tell me, what was the most remarkable dream you could think of that somebody told you you were in for them? Like, in other words, they were the dreamer, but you were in it, and they told you about it. And I discussed mine, which was I thought was the strangest one that somebody ever discussed. And, you know, it was kind of funny. You got to check out the Friday show for that one. But I'll leave it alone and ask you the question. What's the most remarkable dream somebody ever told you? Christy, you were in my dream, and here's what happened.
So this same person has had three or four remarkable dreams, but the most memorable was right before my children were kidnapped, and he saw it ahead of time, and even how it happened. And then, again, same person... Another time, it was shortly after that and completely traumatized and depressed, suicidal, and, you know, and he was actually so sweet to me because he's not really like a storyteller, but I asked him for bedtime stories to try to like give me something with a happy ending because I couldn't come up with it, right? So he was so kind to do that for me. And one day after like 2 or 3 weeks on the couch, like begging to die, I woke up feeling better the next day. When we talked later that evening, he told me about the dream he had the night before. And I don't remember all the details, but basically I was in hell and he reached down and picked me up. And then there was another super interesting one about a place that, again, around the same time, a place where my daughters were at. With, yeah, so there's that. None of them are, like, super pretty or amazing. I mean, I'm sure people told me about, like, sex dreams, boring. But, you know, clearly that first one is the most memorable of my life.
Okay. No, fair enough. It's open to interpretation. I'm really glad I didn't get sex dream answers from anybody on the panel on Friday either, because, yeah, boring. You know, we could do a whole thing on sex dreams if you want, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem all that fascinating to me. It's more about, you know, some very personalized things.
I'm glad it didn't go that way.
Yeah, it's not necessary, you know. It's just, look, I mean, yeah, it could be a fun discussion depending, but I don't know. I'm just, I'm more interested in the stuff that's more remarkable. That's why I said, you know,
I got a good one.
Okay, sure, good.
So this is one of the most remarkable or memorable of somebody, of me dreaming and someone else, right?
Okay.
I think that was the second category in your dream questions.
Well, that was another thing that came up is, did you ever have a shared dream? And I'll give you my punchline on that when you're done. But yeah, go ahead. Tell me about a shared dream experience.
Okay. So I have had shared dreams, and I thought this one was shared, but it wasn't, but it's still the most remarkable.
Okay. Okay.
And this is another person that was back in the Soul Journeys days. So I was in South America trying to protect one of my friends, and I was literally shot in the back by the people trying to get him. And I've always had, and I know there's this weird talk about blue wave or weird stuff like that. I don't know anything about it, and this ain't it, okay? I've had bird people friends in my dreams my entire life, and we'll get into that in other shows if you want.
Okay.
But my bird people friends basically lifted me up, mm-hmm. took me home, put me in bed, and I was literally shot in the back. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then they went back and got him to safety. The next morning, I sent him an email immediately, and I said, what the hell was that last night? Because I knew for sure that he had full recollection of that, right?
Right.
I just, because it was so real and vivid, but I actually skipped a part. Before I made it to the computer to send him an email and get on Skype with him,
right.
I was in pain in that exact same thing. So much pain, so that this is in 2012. I had to cancel my show. And for 2 weeks, I couldn't walk with the pain emanating from the same spot that I got shot in the back in that dream. Now, this is where it gets crazier. So he's like, oh, no, I don't remember, but I told him everything. Mm-hmm. And when I said South America, he says, wow. Ooh, that just gave me chills again. Oh, my God. Okay, so he's like, wow, I'm going to be there in 3 weeks. I'm like, really? So do you know where you're going? He's like, oh, it's some spiritual retreat, and, you know, I want to be a part of blah, 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 and be, you know, blah. And so I'm just like, okay, you do what you got to do, and just know if anything happens, I told him the bird people will be there. And, of course, he thinks I'm crazy, probably like anyone listening right now. And I don't care, but mm-hmm. it's real and documented. It's on Skype, okay? Mm-hmm. So he went to South America 3 weeks later.
Okay.
3 weeks after that, I get an emergency Skype message from him. Are you there? We need to talk.
Okay.
He's now in an apartment in a large city that he says the bird people rescued him from whatever this retreat. It was pretty yucky, black magic-y, and all of that kind of stuff, energy right. harvesting.
Right.
And when he said that he didn't want to, you know, that wasn't what he was looking for, they turned it on him, and he swore that people literally, and they're in the jungle, okay? Like, people literally came out of the jungle, and I don't even remember how many rides and buses and, you know, it was to get to the town, because it was several hours away.
Right.
But, so that was definitely the most remarkable, memorable dream I had.
In a shared sort of experience that wound up coming around to life. So,
right. So I thought he was there that night when I had the dream, but he was there 3 weeks later.
Okay. So I'll throw the tidbit in that I threw in on Friday night at the end of the show, because we're almost at the end of this time now, and just throw it at you because it's the weirdest thing, and I didn't explain too much of it. I have, throughout my life, heard people praying. And I've heard people praying that I had not met yet. And I meet them later, and I tell them about their prayer, and they confirm to me that they did actually pray that, literally. And I've had people that I've known in my day-to-day life, and I come to them, and I tell them, you were praying last night about this or that. And they'll tell me they were. One person I did not meet for about another 15 years after the incident, and described when they said, you know, I was very upset about this, this, and this, and this. I heard the details, and I said, you know what? I just realized that I've heard these details from you before, and this is the first time they were telling me. And I said, you prayed about this
right.
about 15 years ago. And I've been able to have people confirm to me that indeed, they had openly just, you know, prayed, and that I had heard what it was they were praying, sometimes long before I met them, and a whole bunch of people that I've never met, whose prayers I have heard. I have simply randomly heard prayers from people, and sometimes I meet them, sometimes I already know them, and sometimes I don't. But I'm fairly certain that that has happened, because I've had more than one person with more than one type of relationship to me confirmed to me in a very, like, you know, stunned manner that indeed they had prayed about exactly that thing, and I could even repeat phrases from it.
Right.
And they tell me, yeah, yeah, I did. How did you know that? So I don't know what to make of it. I'm not making any statement about it that it means this or that or the third thing. I'm just saying.
Well, Casey in the chat crazy. Says it's an April 7th thing, Chuck, and I agree because, yeah, but it's not just April 7th, but yeah, we hear you, and it is definitely something that all my April 7th friends have in common.
Yeah, well, not just Crazy Joe Gallo, Alan Dulles, and myself sharing that birthday, right? April 7th.
Oh, I don't know them. I'm saying the ones I know. Yeah. I've had five April 7th people in my life, one of which I was engaged to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you definitely share similarities. The other one was... just an older dude I used to juice and feed and help. And then the other one was a younger girl that liked being around me because, you know, she could talk about this stuff.
Right. Well, and that's the interesting thing, too, because, quite frankly, normally I limit these sorts of discussions to a very select number of people. You know, because they start looking at you like
everyone comes to me with these kind of conversations everywhere. Grocery store, barbecue restaurant, like everywhere.
Right. Well, no, I
think I just look it or something. I don't know. But
yeah,
people will literally like open up in a restaurant and. Yeah.
I just literally got a Skype message about the April 7th thing regarding Joe Gallo. Like, why do you always mention Joe Gallo sharing that birthday with you? Well, the reason is that he died on his birthday, okay? And he was born on April 7th many years before me, but he died on exactly the day I was born. That's why I bring him up. Okay.
Wow, I don't even know who he is. Sorry.
A legendary.
When I started mind controlling myself,
sorry.
I did that just by forgetting, you know, not paying attention to all the stuff that people want us to pay attention to and then just filled it up with other stuff.
And Crazy Joe Gallo was a legendary gangster in New York.
So he was probably a cool guy then.
He was weird. He was definitely seen as a loose cannon kind of guy, and
right, now Chuck, I'm laughing right now because I excluded this in this conversation, but I'm sure we've talked about it before. Everybody knows when I was married to the mob, April 7.
There you go. just saying. It is an interesting date to have been born on, but it just so happens that a few miles away, and they killed Joe Gallo at his birthday party.
He wasn't listening to his intuition.
No, he was not.
Because you can't live that lifestyle without listening to your intuition, right?
That's...
Like even black ops in the military or detectives or, you know, doctor really should have that intuition.
Right. No, and that's the thing about it. I mean, the reason why Gallo got, you know, weird reputation is that he was, did not care, you know, he wasn't just exclusive to Italians. He worked with, you know, like they hated him a lot because he worked with, you know, black guys and stuff like that. Like he had a very diverse group of individuals that he was willing to work with and deal with. And he was sort of open-minded, progressive as a mobster.
Great. I'll have to, if I ever see his name come up again. In fact, since we're talking about it, you know something's going to come up on my smartphone or YouTube or Facebook. Yep. So I look forward to learning more about him soon. Thank you, Google.
you know that's going to happen now. I'm going to get new stuff.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so there you go.
Then I don't have to remember his name.
I know. I also, and this is a weird esoteric fact, too, I also collect aces of spades. No kidding.
And then remember when I did your card and told you you're an ace of spades?
Yeah.
So that's no coincidence. Like, yeah, it's just amazing how we live the path, whether we know it or not, and the so-called supernatural is when we're in the zone and aware of it.
Of course. of course.
No, yeah, because you had those Ace of Spades before, right?
Yeah.
So it would have been, if you'd known ahead of time, you probably would have collected Ace of Spades. But so somewhere inside knew you, or messages from the universe, no random coincidences, coincidences, like the whatever words we want to use.
Right.
The universe, your higher self, whatever, was telling you, you're the Ace of Spades.
All true, all true. And yes, indeed, Casey, it is a Motorhead song, and I do appreciate that song. And I just always liked them. I don't know. I play a card game. If somebody deals that card to me, I win. It's just that's why I started collecting them. And I literally have like a couple thousand of these things. Believe it or not, all different ones. You know, from different types of card decks and everything. I have binders full of them. I think I showed you.
Yeah, when we talked about this a few years ago. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, Ace of Spades. Well, you know, I collect them here. Look.
I'm like, what? Oh my god! Yeah, that is just so random. I'm sure. Yeah.
But that's the thing is, you know, some of these odd little quirks you find within yourself, there may actually be a message within them. And yes. That's the thing, is you got to pay attention. So much like we talked about, you know, cleaning. And by the way, even in voodoo practices, Santeria practices, I know some people are already like, you know, fearful at the mention of those things. But they are real things, okay? The idea of cleansing, the idea of preparation, the idea of handling a living space in a certain way, and respecting even the space, not just the things in the space, but the space itself, are all relevant to this discussion. So I'm glad that we did this. I want to give you the ability to do the final word sort of thing here tonight so we can close this out. But I want to remind everybody, you go to mytrueessence.net, and there aren't many supernatural things over there, but there are many natural things at mytrueessence.net that are being reorganized a bit. So maybe you'll go through less pages to find what it is you're looking for. And ChristyAphrodite.com. I urge you to go over there, check it out. You know why? Even if you don't want to buy anything, there's tons of information. Although
healing trauma is a good thing. Self-empowerment is a good thing.
Absolutely. And that discussion tonight, which has occurred, is part of it. Healing oneself, being aware, and not allowing others to try and poison you in a whole lot of different ways, not just with the food you eat and the medicine you use, which also should be your food. Your food should be your medicine. Your medicine should be your food. Yes. All that, but also not allowing them to poison you in other ways, whether they're fully aware of it, fully adept themselves or not. It is possible, and you should always be vigilant about these things. So, Christy, your final words for tonight.
Okay, sorry to make my brain damage completely clear and help you all out with the evidence. So I remembered another dream that I thought was crazy, and I'll make it super quick. And Casey, since he's in the chat, he knows, because I warned him about some things before that he fought with me over until he saw that it was real. Yeah. But okay. So one, I dreamt of my mother, and this was in the years before her death that we weren't talking. Mm-hmm. And she was literally driving off a cliff, and I picked her up from the air. Like, I flew there, I picked her up and put her back on the road. And then I found out from my brother that she literally had an almost accident just like that. And many others, because she was on so many pills and just, she shouldn't have been behind a wheel, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that actually happened too, I found out from my brother. Mm. So that's the last one. But I'm looking forward to talking more about this topic and getting into more crazier stuff. But I'm glad that we got to kind of ease into it and give some groundwork, and hopefully people understand by now that all these things are totally normal. So when we come back next week and talk about things you think are crazy, you know, just file it away and think about what we talked about and think of how it resonates in your life, how many times that you knew you shouldn't have or should have or whatever something, and then you know?
Right.
Just move forward trusting yourself.
Well, absolutely. Look, you first have to make yourself aware of self and then put some trust in you because guess what? That's the only person that you really completely know if you allow right. yourself to do that. And also one of the old axioms that has always stood with me throughout my life is don't ever expect anybody else to really be responsible or to take care of you, not to be responsible for or take care of you if you are not willing to do it yourself. So, you know, there you go. You can't expect other people to care about your condition or what happens to you if you don't.
Right. Big, so, right. And also, if you are religious or have a faith and you actually believe, like the book, like it says, that the temple of God is within. So if that's true, there's nothing that you can't achieve.
There you have it. Anyway, the Ocelli Effect is done for tonight. Christy Aphrodite, once again, ChristyAphrodite.com and also MyTrueEssence.net. These are two great websites to go and check out. And obviously there are things available there, including a ton of information, which is probably the most valuable thing. I mean, I'm not saying your creams and your oils and all that are not valuable, but the information is extremely revolutionary and different. And meanwhile, Christy is not one of these people who simply relabels somebody else's crap. She, guess what? Creates these things. And how does she do it? Well, why don't you go over to ChristyAphrodite.com and MyTrueEssence.net and find out. I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.